Philip Van Winkle continues a study of 2 Peter.
We come to the part of our study now called the Christian Graces. We pick up our study in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Peter writes, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge." We talked briefly last time about the word diligence. We said how that diligence really carries with it two thoughts. It is eagerness. So we should be eager to add these things to our lives, but also there's a carefulness in this word diligence. As you are living your Christian life, be eager to add these things, but also be careful as how you're adding them. Be sure that you add, notice what he says, add to your faith virtue. That is your own personal faith. If it may be good, your faith may be great, but up on top of your faith, you need to add something, and the very first thing he says is to add virtue. Virtue is the word arete. It is the word for valor or excellence. And really, Peter's talking about your moral excellency, your vigor of your soul, your moral energy. And so as you and I walk our Christian life, the very first thing that we need to work on every day of our lives is our morality. We need to have the ability to do that which is right. This is something that we all struggle with from time to time. You know, even Isaiah would say, as he sees the presence of the Lord as recorded in Isaiah chapter 6, that he was a man of unclean lips. Well, he was a good man and he was a righteous man, but even he had to work on his morality. And so, as you and I work on our faith, one thing we need to do is work on our virtue, our moral uprightness, our moral excellence every day. And then also he says, you need to also add knowledge. This is the Greek word gnosis. This is something that we bring alongside of our moral character, the knowledge of the Word of God. You know, we read it in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, how that Israel had forgotten the Word of God. And Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." In fact, isn't that what we're told as Paul writes to the Thessalonians? We're told in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, he says about the Bereans, he says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and, notice, search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." And so as you and I walk in our daily Christian walk, the very first thing we need to do is to be sure to try to be as moral as we can. But also, alongside of that, we need to study daily so that we can continue to grow in the knowledge of God. And then 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, "And to knowledge, add temperance. To temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness." The word temperance here is the word for self-control. Now, the Greek word literally means to hold yourself in. It is the ability to keep your appetites and your desires under control. You and I need to work daily in our lives on controlling our thoughts. You see, if you and I can control our thoughts, we'll have really no problem controlling our actions. Work on temperance. Work on self-control. And then he says, add to your self-control, add patience. Now, there is a sense that the word patience is something like, well, you know, your son has done something to make you frustrated, or maybe your spouse is taking too long to get ready, and so you say, well, I sure am having to be patient. Now, that is only a part of what this word actually is. In fact, that's really not what this word is talking about. The word used here describes really an active bearing up under the weight of affliction. It really means to endure with great fervency. Here is a man who is unswerving in his service to God in the middle of persecution and of trial. It's the one trait that would allow him to endure hardship as the soldier of Jesus Christ. You remember what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3? He said, "Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And so it is with us. A lot of times in the Christians' lives, bad things happen. Troubles keep coming our ways. Troubles keep coming down upon us and pounding us and bringing us down. But we need to be patient. We need to endure with great fervency. And then also he says, as you're adding things, add to your patience godliness. The word eusebia, holiness or godliness. It is the trait that is self-emptying. It takes on the qualities of God. After you have emptied yourself, you will see not only how to serve God, but how to be with other people as well. You and I need to take on godliness, holiness, that self-emptying trait. And as we add godliness, he says, also add brotherly kindness. You see, once you've learned to empty yourself, not only do you know how to deal with God, but you also know how to properly deal with your brethren. Brotherly kindness, the word is Philadelphia. Brotherly love. This shows the affection that we as Christians are to have for one another. It's a genuine concern that you and I should have with each other. Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love," notice, "in honor, preferring one another." Do you have preference to your brethren? Have you emptied yourself enough that you can want what is best for your brother, even if it means at your own sacrifice? Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, simply says, "Let brotherly love continue." And so as you and I walk every day in our lives, we need to grow. We need to grow in brotherly love and have a real genuine concern and care and compassion for one another. After all, we are members of one another. Paul says so in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. He says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." No, we're the same, he says. In 1 John in chapter 4 and verse 20, John says, "If a man says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" How can you and I say that we love God if we don't really care for our brethren? If we don't truly love each other, how can we say that we love God? And John says, you can't. And then he says, as you add brotherly kindness, also, on top of that, add love, agape. This is the strongest Greek term translated love. The word describes a willingness to put someone else's happiness, someone else's well-being above my own. It is the very idea of a self-sacrificial love, to sacrifice yourself for the sake of another. It's the very kind of love we read in what is called the golden text of the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved," there's the word, "he loved the world, that what did he do? That love caused him to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting love." God loved us so much that he sacrificed himself for us. Now we need to ask a question. Do I love my brethren that much? Do I love God that much that I'm willing to sacrifice of my own for someone else? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, "And now abideth faith and hope and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." This is that agape, that sacrificial love that's going to hold on, that's going to endure, even after faith and hope have been fulfilled, even in heaven after faith is gone, after we have already received the hope that we've been looking forward to, even after that, still love will remain. And now to verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you. You that shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says if you keep these in your daily lives, you will not be barren. If you will continually add all of these things to you, you will not be barren. Now the word barren is a word literally meaning useless or slothful or lazy. It could even carry with it to some degree the idea of one who is unemployed or one who is idle. And so Peter is saying if you will just add all of these things to your life, it will keep you from being useless. But notice useless in what? Look at what the verse says. It will keep you from being barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The full understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why does it say Lord Jesus Christ? You know, as we study these words, we can find out the meaning of them. The Lord really is a word that describes His deity, His Godhood. Jesus describes His humanity. And Christ shows that He is the Anointed One. And so, our Lord Jesus Christ is who we are to have knowledge of. If we will continue to add these things to our lives, we will continue to have knowledge of the deity and the humanity and the fact of the anointing of Christ Jesus. You know, when these people would mention Jesus, they would often phrase it this way, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is very important. It is a description of the very nature of the second person of the Godhead. He was deity, He was humanity, but He was the Anointed One of God. And so in verse 9, it says, But he that lacketh these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And so we need to be sure that as we add these things, that we do not lack any of these things. Because if we lack them, Peter says, we are blind. We cannot see that which is far off.